Hello, everybody. It's Joanna. Welcome. I'm so, so happy that you're all here. And I've been looking forward to this call, although, honestly, it's been bittersweet. I'm so excited about the call. It's going to be such a great call. And also, I'm a little sad. Can't believe we've made it to our last call. We're going to be spending 3 hours together today. It's a double class, but the two topics, you'll see, they kind of will mesh together a little bit. One is ritual as a coaching tool, and then we're going to look at how to use assessments, but particularly when you come to the end of a client cycle or the end of a group program, how to really help support a client to assess what the work with you has been and how to move them into continuing with you. So it's really, we're going to be taking a deep, detailed look at next steps process for clients. And we're also going to have opportunity to do, and this is a perfect time of year to actually assess yourselves. So we're going to have opportunity to do all of that. It's going to be a really interactive call, and we're going to go through a lot of different things. I started getting nervous like literally a minute before I called in, and maybe someone can tell me, in your reminder call today, was there a to-bring list? Like, did it mention bringing a pretty piece of paper or a piece of, like, jewelry or clothing? Can someone just let me know, star two, if you were reminded of that or not? Kalea.
I didn't have anything like that show up, but I can remember now.
Okay, that's good to know. It might be that it wasn't in the note, and that's my fault for letting the team send out notes without me taking a look at them, and it's all good. But I just wasn't sure if you guys got it or not. Thank you. Carolyn, you have your hand raised. Just want to see if you know anything.
I don't
different.
Recall seeing anything either. Yeah. No. I didn't see anything
right.
either.
Okay,
that actually makes me feel pretty good.
Okay.
Because I tend to forget too, so thank you.
Awesome. Okay. So it's all good. This is great. Great modeling, I guess, even though this isn't a facilitation program, it's a coaching program. It's like sometimes things are going to go a little wrong on the admin logistics end of things, and you just want to go with it. So here's what I'll just say right now as we're stepping in. If you are, I guess, at home and you have opportunity, we're not going to need it until the second part, really the very end of the call. If you have opportunity to just gather, and you may already be wearing it, like a piece of jewelry that's important to you or a piece of clothing that you really like or just even any object, any kind of object. Not one that holds like a lot of nostalgic importance to you, but just something that you really like that you see often enough, that would be amazing. And if you don't have opportunity to do that, that's fine too. And then the other thing to just look for as, you know, we're moving through today is if you have some kind of pretty piece of paper. But if you don't, a regular piece of paper will do. It's all good. Okay. So one of the reasons, you know, talking about assessment, and one of the reasons I was saying, you know, right now is an excellent moment for assessing is because tomorrow, if we look at kind of the wheel of the year, tomorrow for millennia in different cultures, Lammas was celebrated, L-A-M-M-A-S, And the reason why August 1st was a sacred day, a power day, a special day, is because, at least in this hemisphere where I am, where most of us in the program are, it was the day where the first harvest was honored. So traditionally there were three harvests. The first was on August 1st, and then they lasted through the autumn until end of October. The first harvest were the sunflowers. So it was the first, August 1st was really the first moment where the people, and they were all connected to the land, where they were able to, it was the first moment where they were able to really take in the fruits of their labor. They had toiled in the spring and in the summer and worked hard. And then the autumn, and it seems weird to call August 1st autumn, but it's kind of like pre-autumn, that's when they could finally really see the fruits of their labor. So Lammas, or August 1st, is very much, first of all, about celebration and about gratitude. There was always big celebration around the harvest. And I love this. You know, those of you that know me well and have done other work with me, and even we've looked at it in Sacred Depths a bit, I'm really a student of the earth and her cycles, and I just find so much wisdom in the cycles and really commit and recommit to sort of living my life according to the wisdom of the cycles. And so one of the things that I love about Lammas is that it was intentionally a moment to celebrate, to acknowledge the hard work, and to celebrate the fruits of the labor. It was a moment to pause and to celebrate and acknowledge and be in gratitude. And this is a coaching principle, right? We looked at this way back when in creating awareness, the importance of celebration and acknowledgement too. And we know this as coaches. And I say no, I put it in quotes because I think we're all, and especially after you've been through Sacred Depths, we're really good at doing this with our clients. But it's harder sometimes to do it for ourselves or make time to do it for ourselves. And so this is just like the perfect time of year that the energies, you know, and the cycle is kind of like supporting us to celebrate. The other thing about Lammas and the harvest is that it's associated, or at least I associate it, not just with celebration, but also with assessment. You know, we've all heard the term separating the wheat from the chaff. And what that really is, that happens during harvest time, and that separation process is an assessment process, right? This grew well. This is doing good. This is not so good. We need to do this differently next time. So this is actually also a power moment for assessing our coaching skills, assessing our work, assessing where we're at in our businesses. All of the energies are kind of supporting that. So it's perfect that we're kind of moving into all of that in the second part of today's call. So in order to get us grounded in all of this, let's actually just take a moment, close our eyes. Go inwards. And notice the ground beneath you, either underneath your seat or your feet. And notice that the earth that's even underneath that. And let some of your weight, your body weight, and your energy shift downward towards the earth. And that's always supporting us. That's always grounding us. And then from there, focus on your breath. Inhaling and exhaling. As you inhale, open up, take in life. As you exhale, let go. Inhaling, filling up, giving yourself permission to fill up, to take in, to receive. And exhaling and letting go, using the breath to connect deeply with your body and to connect deeply with your wisdom. And as you breathe, I invite you to attune to the season, to this sacred threshold that we are about to cross tomorrow, crossing the threshold into the harvest. And so I invite you to attune to the energy of the harvest, of abundance, of being able to enjoy the fruits of your labor, of being able to take a pause and a rest from the work and enjoy. And of course, all of this is related to the ability to receive. We cannot enjoy what we've created, and we all create and co-create so much. We cannot enjoy what we've created unless we're willing to receive, unless we're literally willing to take in and own what has been created. And so I invite you as you breathe right now to maybe just allow whatever armor you've put up that keeps you from receiving, maybe just allow some of it to melt a little bit. So that as you breathe, maybe you can even receive the breath a little more fully. As you reflect on what you have in your life, what you've created in your life and in your work, whether it be friendships, love, resources, the amazing work that you do, a piece of your home that you love, whatever it is, see if you can receive that as you breathe. See if you can receive more fully all that you've created. And again, no matter where you're at with your business or whatever it is, you've created and co-created a lot. There is a lot in front of you. Together, we'll take a nice deep breath in and exhale everything with a sigh. And then allow your eyes to flutter open. Okay. So, let's talk about ritual as a coaching tool. When we talk about ritual, and I'm so excited to share a little bit about ritual today, but when we talk about it in the context of coaching, we're kind of really off the beaten path of traditional coaching. This isn't something that is included in many coach trainings, but it's something that has been so embedded for decades, not only in my own personal practice, but in my coaching, that it's something that I wanted to embed into Sacred Depths coaching. And so I'm really thrilled to toe dip you into it today. I have really found ritual to be an incredibly transformative and powerful coaching tool and healing tool and facilitation tool that you can have for your clients, but also for yourself. And so as with a lot of the topics that we've looked at, or a couple of the topics we've looked at, you know, we could spend many, many, many months just on ritual alone, and that's all, you know, and into the depths facilitation training, we do spend a lot more time on it. But I think we can get far today so that you can know how to use it in your coaching practice and for yourself a bit. One of the reasons why I love using ritual as a coaching tool is because when you use ritual with your clients, it allows you to tap into the four levels of learning that, you know, we keep on coming back to. It allows you to tap into the mental level of learning and processing. It allows you to tap into the emotional level of learning and processing. It allows you to tap into the spirit level of learning and processing, and it allows you to tap into the body level of learning and processing. And ritual usually, you know, a well-crafted ritual can actually help you tap into all of those four things all in one ritual. And we'll take a look more at what that means. When I use ritual in my client work, I use it in one of two ways. Oftentimes we do it in session. So I'll actually lead a client through a ritual if it makes sense for me to, you know, hold that space for them. We have the time for it. I'll actually lead them through it while we're in session. But also a lot of times we'll co-create a ritual together, and then I'll give it as homework. You know, they'll do it on their own, and then, you know, come back and tell me about it. And ritual, you know, it sounds woo-woo, and it can be, but as we'll see throughout this call, it actually is very concrete and very grounded, and you can use ritual on any topic. Really any topic that, or goal, or anything that a client needs. You don't want to overdo ritual, you know, but there's a place for it in business, there's a place for it in health, there's a place for it in relationships, and so on and so forth, and, you know, we'll see that. So what is ritual? You know, what do I even mean when I talk about using ritual? I'll give you a simple definition that we can use for this class today. So ritual, first of all, is taking an action to make the intangible tangible. Taking an action to make the intangible tangible. So what does that mean? Well, that means that we all have, as human beings, we all have different things that are going on inside of us, right? We already know this, and we've seen this over and over in every single class of Sacred Depths. We have certain fears. We have certain beliefs. We have certain thoughts. We have certain dreams. We have certain fantasies. We have certain visions. We have certain obstacles. And all of those things are rolling around inside of us, inside of our clients, and they're intangible, right? Because they're either thoughts or feelings or energy, which I know can be tangible, but isn't concrete, right? So they're all things that are not concrete. When you do a ritual, you're taking an action. You're, you know, doing anything from lighting a candle to burning something to making a movement to making something to, you know, lots of other things. We'll look at lots of other things you can do. You're literally taking a concrete physical action to make what is intangible inside of you tangible. And this is a very powerful thing to do. When you take an action to make on something that is intangible, when you kind of bring it into the three-dimensional, concrete, you're signaling something to your psyche. It's kind of like, sometimes I call ritual sacred play. And the reason why I call it sacred play is because I think a lot about kids. And you know how kids play house or play doctor or play all the things they play, family or my kids play library or, you know, whatever it is. Well, what are they doing when they're playing? They're making the intangible tangible. They're making thoughts and visions that they have tangible. In other words, they're playing themselves into being. They're playing. It's play, right? They're playing themselves into being. And that's really what ritual is. When we do ritual, we're playing ourselves into whatever our next being is, whether it's about we want to get rid of a certain belief or habit, and we play ourselves into that, or there's something that we want to accomplish, a goal, whatever it is. Sacred play. I also see ritual as an opportunity to create sacred space. And last week in our journaling module, if you guys remember, one of the things that I was mentioning is the importance of soul time for ourselves and for our clients. You know, the actual sessions that we have with clients can be time for them to be with their souls, to do some inner work, for them to connect with themselves, and it's great. But the truth is that people need soul time more than once a week or once every 2 or 3 weeks, however often you're meeting with your clients. When we can assign journaling, when we can assign ritual, it gives them containers in the middle of their busy, frenetic lives to actually have the soul time and to connect deeply with themselves. Ritual can also be used, along with all of this, as an opportunity to mark important moments and transitions. It's an opportunity to mark important moments and transitions in our clients' lives. That's why in almost any culture and in almost any religion, there's always some kind of ritual or ceremony to mark a transition. There are wedding ceremonies, right? There are funeral ceremonies, another transition. There are graduation ceremonies. These are all transitions that we mark, and we mark it with ritual. And actually, a couple of you are going to be at my Celebrant training in November, and the Sacred Cycles Celebrant training, and you'll see everything that we look at there, divorce rituals, starting a new business ritual, we look at wedding rituals and funeral rituals and menarche rituals, to mark a young girl getting her period, and menopause rituals and everything in between, renewal of vows and all of that. All of those are transitions. Those are transitional moments. And usually, again, in culture, we've got a couple of those in religion and, that we do. They're usually done kind of without thinking, and we sleepwalk through them. But our coaching can become way more powerful when we can note these transitions for our clients and then help create a personalized ritual that marks the transition and really helps them move through it. Ritual has, just to tell you briefly, ritual has played such an important role in my own life. It's been unbelievable. It's actually what got me started on the path of everything that I do now and all of my work. It didn't start with coaching. It actually started with ritual. It was back in my 20s, living in New York City. And there's a place called the Open Center in New York City, which is, some of you know it, it's just kind of like this great center for meditation classes, all different kinds of self-development classes. And I hadn't taken any classes there. Someone had told me about it. And I was flipping through the catalog one day, and I came upon this course that they were offering, and it was called Woman Ritual. And I read the 5-sentence description of Woman Ritual. It was talking about how women had been the keepers of ritual for millennia, and, you know, whatever it said, I don't even remember anymore. But what I do remember is, as I was reading the description of this class, it reminded me of something that I knew when I was a little girl, but had forgotten for a couple of decades. And what it reminded me of was that the world is a magical place and that we're part of that magic. And I don't know, that may or may not sound corny to you, but coming back to ritual for me has been like a homecoming back to understanding my place in this incredible universe, in this magical world, and it has been a homecoming to be able to make more meaning in my life through the happy moments and through the grief-filled moments, through the joy and the ease, and also through the pain. And in addition to, you know, participating in big group rituals, I've used it a lot personally in my life, and I'll just share one example with you, and hopefully it will spur some ideas for you, you know, for yourself and clients. We'll look at a ton of examples today, but, you know, one of the most powerful moments for me of using ritual was before I got pregnant with Tanina, my older one. I had been pregnant, and I had a miscarriage. And I'll never forget, I was actually on a coaching call. I was a couple of weeks pregnant, and I was on a coaching call, and I just knew I had started bleeding, and, you know, just went into a panic. Somehow I made it through the rest of the coaching call. I don't know how. And, you know, lo and behold, I went and I saw I was bleeding, and I went to the doctor the next day, and it turned out that I had lost the pregnancy. And it was very painful for me, and it was very hard to accept. And it made me, not only was I in a lot of grief around it, but it also brought up a lot of fear for me around, you know, was my body strong enough to carry a pregnancy and, you know, to be able to have children. It really brought up so much for me. And I did a lot of, you know, the work that we might think, you know, that you would do around it. You know, I did journaling, and I emoted. I allowed myself to cry, and, you know, all the things. And all of that helped so much. And it still felt incomplete. Like, I could still feel a week or two later, even more than a week or two later, a couple weeks later, that it was more than just like holding on. Because, of course, when there's grief, you know, there's going to be grief for a while. But I could really feel that that I was kind of gripping. And a couple more months went forward and I could still feel I was gripping, and John had wanted to try again, and I just, like, I wasn't ready. I just didn't allow myself. Well, being the ritualist that I was, and this may sound gross to some of you, it does, excuse me, but being the ritualist that I was and working so much with women's blood rites and all of that, when I was going through the miscarriage, I don't know, there was a part of me that just said, let me catch some of this blood. That might sound weird, I know, to some of you, but I caught some of the blood. And I just kept it, and I didn't know why I kept it. I just kind of had it. I needed something there. So anyway, a couple months later, when I realized that I really needed to do a ritual around all of this, the journaling was great, the emoting was great, but I needed to make something that was intangible inside of me tangible. And I realized I needed to do a ritual around this. And what I ended up doing, I was living in Brooklyn at the time, and I gathered, I had the blood in a little Tupperware container. I took the train. I didn't have a car. I took the train up to upstate New York to a particular place, actually to Hudson, New York, for those of you that know it, to this mountain that I just always loved hiking. That was, it was very peaceful for me. It was a place of a lot of solace. And John came with me on the trip, but he kind of let me be once we got there. And I took some time to just really honor this life that had been inside of me that had passed, that had been released. And I took some time to speak to it. It was important to me. And I knew that I needed to release whatever hold it had on me so that, I could continue on and work on trying again to get pregnant. And, I spoke everything I had to speak with the Tupperware in my hands, and then I found a place on the mountain, and I buried the blood, there was congealed blood at that point, and I buried it, and the burying of it was really about, part of it was about releasing whatever grief that was ready to be released. Part of it was about releasing whatever hold it had on me that wasn't aligned for me anymore. And part of it was being able to honor, right? I hadn't done anything to honor what had happened and what had passed, and to honor that dream of what was, that was crushed, and, all of that. And so I did that, and I kind of created a little altar. I gathered flowers and, little twigs, and kind of put it there where I had buried the blood. And lo and behold, within a week or two, I felt ready to, try to get pregnant again. And that's when I got pregnant with Penina. And so I just share that story with you to say that, or I guess to express that ritual can be really powerful. It holds a lot of symbolic power because of this idea of making the intangible tangible. And it doesn't have to be all heavy either. There's lots of client situations that it can be really useful for. And the truth is that in our everyday life, we have ritual all the time. We have different kinds of rituals all the time, right? Blowing out birthday candles. Make a wish and you blow out a birthday candle. That's a ritual. That is making an intangible wish that's like hanging out inside of us, taking an action, right, around it. Making a wish at a fountain, throwing the penny, you throw a penny in, right? It's, again, making the intangible tangible. Graduation ceremonies, walking up to a stage and being handed a certificate or a diploma. Why do people place such importance on certificates, diplomas? It's just like a piece of paper, right? Like a printed piece of paper. But it means so much to people. It's because of what it symbolizes. It's making an intangible accomplishment. All of the work of all of the school and all the studying and the years and the, right? It's making all of that tangible. All right, so let me pause here for a moment. In a moment, we're going to get into different types of rituals and how you can use them with clients. But let me pause here for a moment, and I'd just love to hear what you're hearing so far that feels important for you, what's resonating for you, what are you seeing, or what questions do you have for me, star two. Kalea.
Hey, excuse me, I don't have a lot of questions, but I just wanted to support you as a fellow ritualist, you know, and how I really enjoy listening to you lay out this very practical and grounded approach to something that's so magical and so powerful and so beautiful that as women we've been doing for since the beginning, and so many of us have forgotten that couples we are. But it's right there under the surface, and sometimes there's judgment around it, and sometimes there isn't. And I just honestly just wanted to really just, you know, wrap my arms around you and hug you and thank you for speaking about this. It's so important.
It's so incredibly important. That's really all I wanted to say.
I'm glad that you're bringing that forward, and yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, like I said, it's been so important in my life and in my clients' lives. It's something that's out there that it's just like so ready for all of us to use. But we don't enough. So good, good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Tina.
Hi, Joanna. How are you?
Hi. Good. How are you?
I'm good. I really appreciated you sharing that very intimate ritual with us. It really kind of reminded me of a time when I had something really painful happen, and I really didn't know kind of how to deal with it. And now I'm kind of going through something different, but it feels kind of that similar pain, and it's kind of inviting me to maybe do another ritual with it and make something that right now my life so intangible, tangible, and maybe I can find some positivity and meaning through it, you know, somehow, rather than sulking and being stagnant, you know what I mean?
Yes, 100%. Ritual is a great way to help create meaning, make meaning out of things, too. Yeah.
So I'm wondering, like, do you have any suggestions around when something is kind of heavy and it's like unknown, you don't really know what's going on, but you want to make ritual out of it, do you recommend more like doing something in the earth or the ocean, or does it not matter?
Well, with most rituals, and we'll see as we go through, and then you know we'll brainstorm on some scenarios. I find it's good to do, like, you need the more traditional coaching skills first to support some awareness around where you want to go with the ritual. It's not like always just standard do this thing for if this happens. You know, it's kind of like, let's see what are the beliefs that the person is holding on to, what are the fears, what do they desire, what needs to be honored, what needs to be acknowledged, what needs to be grieved. You know, so you want to kind of like, that's why it goes so well with coaching, because you can spend some, you know, a session kind of more traditionally coaching on it, and then based on all of the awareness that comes out of it, create the ritual.
Oh my God, that's so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. That really helped me a lot.
Okay, good. I'm so glad.
Thank you.
All right, I'll take one more share. Who is this? 0684.
Hi, Joanna. It's Nicole.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you for sharing your personal story. And I realize I have more rituals than I thought before this call, sharing your story. And my rituals, I now see that, surround around music. Music, to me, symbolizes also for connection. And I think I use rituals to connect again with people I lost. And I also feel very grateful in those moments. And I have one ritual I like to share. It's very short. When I travel, and always when the plane takes off, once I traveled to London and the plane took off and I was listening to a number of music from Coldplay, it's A Sky Full of Stars. And there's one sentence and it said, "I think I saw you." And it wasn't my mother's birthday and she passed away. So that sentence, "I think I saw you," well, actually I didn't see her, but seeing the clouds, and I felt connected with the universe and with her. Ever since, I do have the ritual then when a plane takes off. I always, always want to listen to that music, and I feel very grateful and connected. So to me, that is a very important moment of ritual. So thank you, because I now realize this is a very important ritual to me.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad you can see that. I love that. So beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
Good. Okay, good. So let's continue. I want to share, there's lots of different types of rituals and you can mix and match, but I want to share kind of like some of the main ways you can think about using ritual, and then we'll tie it to specific scenarios after that. So one kind of category of rituals, you can call it, I guess, are release rituals. Taking a tangible action to release something that has been intangible but is ready to be released, to release a fear, to release a pattern, to release an obstacle, to release a way of being, to release a belief. And so different ways that you can make a releasing tangible is burning, right? You can write what you want to release on a piece of paper and burn it. Burying. You can either write what you want to release on a piece of paper and bury it, or get a rock and have the rock symbolize this thing, whatever it is you want to release, and bury the rock. Ripping up a piece of paper that symbolizes whatever you want to release. Flushing it down the toilet. I think we have that in our Befriend Your Fear process. And shaking your movement, shaking something out of you is a physical action to release something. Now, one thing I always say about releasing is sometimes when we release ritually, it just happens in an instant, right? Like we burn the thing and it's done. Other times, it's cyclical, right? Like we need to keep on coming back and committing to the release and to do it a number of times. It will shift every time we do it, but to do it a number of times before we fully release whatever that intangible thing is. Another category of ritual, I call it honoring rituals, a ritual to honor something. Or to own, if there's something that you've got a client, they're ready to own something or honor something. And so I'll give you an example of this. I recently, with a client, this client, she's incredible. She just started her own corporate coaching business. She was a corporate coach within a company for a number of years, and just in March, we started working together a little bit before March. In March, she left her job and to start her own business. And she already, within like 2 months, had sold over $200,000. Like she had already sold $200,000 worth of business. It was amazing. And she wasn't really acknowledging this incredible accomplishment that she had had. And at the same time, as we started talking about, you know, newer kinds of ways to market, not just in her grassroots, like the connections she already had, but as we had started looking at starting a newsletter and writing articles and she's not even on social media, you're getting on social media, all of it, it's like she froze. She just couldn't do, even though she had already done so much, she couldn't do any of it. And as we coached it out and looked at it more closely, you know, what we really saw was that she wasn't owning her brilliance. You know, it was kind of one thing to do the grassroots marketing that I led her through to bring on the business that she brought, but it was a whole other thing to be visible through articles and social media posts and to claim that she had an expertise in a particular topic. And so we coached all of this out, and it was good, and we found so many awarenesses and, you know, all of that. But I felt that a ritual in that case could be really effective and powerful for her. And so together we co-created, I called it a queen ritual, because we had spoken about in the coaching her stepping into her queen self. And we co-created a ritual together, which she did on her own. And so the first part of the ritual was, you know, she just wrote out all of the fears that she was felt really ready to let go of. And she released those fears. I forget what she did. I think she burned them. And then the next part of the ritual is I had her take a bath, a cleansing bath, which is still part of the release, right, to just really cleanse herself of whatever she was holding onto and, you know, light candles and do the cleansing. And then the third part of the ritual, which was really the honoring and owning part, was I had her make, she did two parts, it was two parts. So first she made a crown, and she infused the crown with all of the things that she wanted to, she knew she had inside of her that she wanted to claim for herself, all the bits of her brilliance, all the bits of her mastery, all of her resources. It was really time for her to own it. And then what she did next was she anointed herself. So she had oil, and she anointed different parts of her body and to really own, you know, one part of her body symbolized her wisdom, and one was about owning her intuition, and one was about owning how she's such a strategist, you know, owning her strategy and, you know, all of that. And then the final part of the ritual was you very intentionally putting that crown on her head. Not only was it incredibly meaningful for her, but about a week later, she sent me the first draft of her first newsletter article. So it really helped her to give her the inspiration and the motivation to move towards claiming her expertise and writing that newsletter article. Another category of ritual I call intention rituals. So those are about when you make an intention. If there's a goal that you want to accomplish, if there's something that you want to commit to, you'll set an intention. And there's a lot of beautiful ways to create ritual and ceremony around that, to make that intangible wish, that intangible goal, right, that's like inside of you, to make it tangible for yourself and the desire tangible for yourself. So one way to set an intention ritually is very simple, is to just get a candle and have the candle symbolize the goal or the wish or the vision or the desire, and very intentionally light the candle. If you want to get fancier with it, before you light the candle, carve your intentions. You can do it with a knife or like a skewer, like a wooden skewer. You can carve intentions into the candle. Planting seeds. So you can get some seeds either for the earth or into a pot, and metaphorically, symbolically have the seeds take on what your intention is. You hold the seeds in your hand. Maybe it's, you know, I don't know, a new relationship, a romantic relationship that you want, right? And you can hold the seeds in your hand and really think about what you want this romantic relationship to be, and then plant those seeds. Setting an intention on a rock, getting a rock, and let's say you want to set an intention around not being so much in your black and white thinking all the time, maybe you draw something on the rock, and then you have that rock, right? And you have that on your desk to remind you of it. Another category of rituals, and again, there's so many, but I'm just getting to some of the bigger ones here, I call cleansing rituals, right? So I gave you a little bit of an example in that with my recent client where she took the cleansing bath, right? So anytime you have a client that needs to cleanse themselves of something, anything with water is really cleansing. Anything with salt can be really cleansing. So taking salt and dissolving, having the salt symbolize whatever needs to be cleansed and then dissolving it into a bowl of water. Anything with sage can be really cleansing. All right, so hopefully that's starting to spark some ideas for you. And what I want to do for a little bit right now is let's brainstorm on some rituals. Let's get some ideas going. And I'll actually start. This will be less of a brainstorm, but more I'll just tell you. I'm going to tell you a little bit. I do my birthday is coming up. It's in August, and I have a very special birthday ritual that I do for myself every year, and I also oftentimes give it for clients as homework when their birthdays are coming up, and I find this, you know, very powerful. And of course, everything that I share, use law of adaptation, like any, take the parts that work, throw away the parts that don't, tweak it. That's the great thing about ritual, it's totally creative. You can make it mean what, you know, in any, you're the one that makes the meaning here for yourself. We saw that so beautifully in what Nicole shared too, right? But so here's my birthday ritual. And actually this is great because it relates a little bit to assessments also. So I like to use my birthday as a time for assessing and reflecting and setting intentions and all of that. It always feels like a special power day for me. I become very self-centered on my birthday. It's all about me. And I like to not have my kids around until the evening, and I take the day for myself, all of that. But so anyway, always on my birthday, I take about an hour to do this ritual. And I do a couple of things. So the first thing that I do is I review the year that has passed, and I celebrate first. And so what I do is just I write down all of the things that went really well since my last birthday, all of the things that I feel proud of, all of the things that I feel happy and grateful for, all of the things that, you know, are amazing. I really take the time to honor all of that. I write it all down. I make a list. And then what I do ritually around it, you know, it sometimes varies year by year, but I'll light a candle in honor and in celebration of all of those amazing things that have happened. That's part one of the ritual. Then part two, the next thing that I like to do on, you know, as part of my birthday, is to honor and acknowledge the things that haven't gone so well, the things that didn't turn out the way that I wanted, right, let's go back to our creating awareness module. We want to celebrate the awesome things, but it's really important to honor what is, right? Any of the pain, any of the stuck places, and I'll make a list of like what where I'm still in progress, right? And I make that list, and then after I take a look at where I'm still in progress, I'll say, okay, so you know, based on all of these things that aren't, you know, haven't gone the way that I want, where I still feel like, what is one fear or one belief or one pattern or one habit that I've been holding on to this last year, probably way longer than this last year, but it's actually ripe to be let go. I don't need to bring it into my next year with me. And I'll identify whatever that fear or pattern or habit or belief is, and then I'll do a little bit of a release around it. I may burn, I may write it down on a piece of paper and burn it. I may put on music and shake it out of my body. You know, whatever it is, I'll do to ritually release it. And then part three of that birthday ritual is looking into the future. So I've already at that point looked at what is it that I want to take with me into the next year. That's the honoring and the celebrating. I've already looked at what is it that I don't want to take with me into the next year. And then the last part is what do I want to create over the next 12 months? And I'll usually, you know, write out what it is that I want to create. And I usually separate like sections of my life. What do I want to create in my business? What do I want to create in my health? What do I want to create in my relationships outside of my family? And what do I want to create in my family? You know, kind of vaguely around those things. And then I'll do a ritual action to set that intention and to set those commitments. Sometimes the ritual action is I'll make a collage that symbolizes those things. Sometimes the ritual action is I'll carve a candle with symbols or words of the things that I want to create. Sometimes I'll just write it on a really beautiful piece of paper and keep it in a special place. All right, so hopefully all of this is giving you inspiration and ideas. And so let's take a look at some scenarios and brainstorm. So let's say you've got a client that is starting a new business. You've got a client that's starting a new business. You've coached with them a bit, probably more than one session, a bunch of sessions. You maybe you've gotten clear on what their business is going to be about. You've even gotten into like what are their programs going to look like. You know, their rates. You've looked a little bit about how they might market. But the person hasn't yet really taken action. You know, it's kind of like all been in the planning. And, you know, maybe let's say a couple of weeks, there's just time to take action. They're maybe not really taking action. And you're coaching it out. You're looking at the fear. You know, you're doing befriend your fear. And they're getting great awarenesses. And they're moving forward. Or you're doing rewire negative thought patterns. You know, all the tools we've looked at, whichever ones you want to use. But let's say the person could really use a ritual, too. So what might you suggest this client do to mark this transition into a new business? I'll let you take a moment and think about that and jot down some notes. What might be really cool to suggest for this client? And I'd love to hear, doesn't have to be like a full thought out ritual in this moment, but even if you're just seeing like little flashes of rituals or things they could do, let's just get some ideas. Let's throw some ideas out there. So what might you suggest to a client that is ready to start a new business? How could they ritualize it to get themselves ready, to mark that moment, to make meaning, and to bring themselves more forward into this new business? Star two. Gail.
Hi.
Hi.
I love the idea of planting. something. I was thinking the ritual of having seeds and holding them with the intention of the business, and then planting them and doing the same with water, like placing your hands on the container of water and putting nourishing intention into it.
Yeah.
And watering the seeds.
Yeah. I love that. That's so beautiful. It's just, it's so great. And actually, as you're speaking about that, I'll just throw an alternate out there. I love what you shared, but just like get different ideas, different creativity going. It could be seeds, but you could also, your client could actually buy an already grown plant. To symbolize, right, that's already beautiful and maybe flowering, to symbolize the new business. And then I love this idea of, like, blessing the water. And then, you know, as they nurture this plant, it's like they're nurturing the business as well.
Yeah.
Really nice. I love it. Awesome. Jamie.
Okay, hi. I thought of creating a symbolic threshold of some kind and kind of like identifying the feeling on this side of the threshold and on the other side based on what's come up in the coaching.
Yeah.
And then create a way of sort of symbolically, meaningfully walking, crossing the threshold.
Yeah, beautiful. I love it. So like actually physically creating a threshold, whether it's tape on the floor, or you could even have your client prep and create some kind of threshold and decorate it or whatever it is. And then clearly delineating like the feelings and the habits and the patterns on the one side, like where they are, and then same thing on the other side, and have them ritually and intentionally really step over the threshold. I love that. Such a great idea. Awesome. Thank you. These are great. Let's hear a couple more. Kelsey.
Oh, of course, that was mine. Jamie just said exactly what I was going to say. So I didn't have a second to lower my hand, but I love that one. It just feels like you're leaving behind something, obviously, and you're crossing into a new way of being, and it can feel really powerful to sort of state what you're letting go of and what you're stepping into in that moment.
Yeah, I love it. I love that you guys had the same idea. That's awesome.
Exact same.
Great. Let's hear a couple more. Kalea.
Hey. This is like a three-parter. So I thought, you know, the first one being releasing, you know, the fear or any bind that's holding her with fire, right? Because it creates the fuel also, that energy for new action. And then really looking at the new identity, like getting into the feeling of that new identity and where those feelings are in her body. And then lying down to do some imprint work with her hands, right? So there's an alignment with her hands and her body. And then I thought the third piece could be the mirror work. You know, the piece that she keeps doing is really seeing that new identity. Like when she looks in the mirror, she's like, oh, that's me. Like this is that woman that takes action.
Yeah.
And it
I
feels
love it.
Good.
I love it. I love it. And as you were talking, and just to like add some frills and other ideas, but what I was thinking when you were talking is part of this new identity and moving into the energy of it is she could go out and, or she may have something in her home, but, or she could go out and like buy an outfit that really symbolizes who she is or wants to be as an entrepreneur. You could help her find like adjectives to describe what her ideal entrepreneur self is. And she could set an intention on the clothing, you know, and you put them on and, you know, to really, like, symbolize stepping into this new way of being.
Yeah, it's so cool. And when you said that, I just saw two things, almost like this gorgeous cloak. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
This really beautiful cloak. Like, it covers the whole body. And then also I saw a crown.
Yeah.
So we've talked about crowns before. Anyway,
yeah.
Conversation.
That's awesome. I love it.
It's so fun. Yeah.
Yay, good. And Nicole.
Hi. The first idea that came up to me was she could gather with people who supported her, maybe new people, and organize a dinner or something with good food and dialogue about new beginnings and changes and transitions, and mark this with people who supported her, light a candle, gather around the fire, and well, have a good evening and talk about new beginnings and what does that mean to other people, and well, to mark it with people who support us and who love her. Something like that. That was my first idea.
Yeah, yeah. No, I love that. It's almost like a feast, a new business feast in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. You know, if she brings people that are close to her into it, the other thing that could happen at this dinner is she could have people go around the circle and each one give her a blessing for her new business. You know, I wish upon you that you always have a sense of humor, right? You know, whatever you know, like great fierceness in your sails. They could either do it verbally, or they could even like each they could each have a rock that they symbolize that blessing. They put it into the rock, and then she has a beautiful bowl that they put it into.
Yeah,
so there's
love
lots
it.
You can do when there are other people present. Yeah, beautiful. I love
it. Yes, so she feels solid with all the rocks around her. Yeah,
yeah.
I love the idea. Yeah.
Good. Great. Okay, this is so much fun. Let's look at a different scenario and see what you guys come up with. Let's say you've got a client that has just gone through a divorce, or maybe not even just, maybe it was a little while ago, and she's had the divorce, or maybe not, maybe it's before the actual divorce has happened, you know, we'll just, whatever comes through for you here, and you can see that you guys have been working on it, you've processed through it, but you can see that there's still some gripping on and holding on to the relationship in one way or another. You know, even though she's like, yes, this divorce, it needs to happen, but it's like it's almost like she's holding herself back in one way or another in her life because there's still parts of the relationship that she's holding on, or maybe parts of who she was in that relationship that she's holding on to, or whatever it is. So take a moment and think about that. If you were to help her create a little bit of a ceremony for this, something to make the intangible tangible, what are some things that she could do? Star two. Jamie.
Well, I'm so glad I have a chance to share this. When I was a divorce lawyer, I was invited once to a divorce party from a client. And what she did was she rented a dumpster and had them put it on its side in her driveway or side yard. And for a couple of months, she went around to junk shops and picked up junk plates and cups and just one-offs and, you know, cheap stuff. And she had this giant table piled with a huge amount of this old china and stuff. And she invited us all, and we threw it into the dumpster and just totally crushed it all. It was so much fun.
I love that. I love that idea so much. And that, to me, feels like not only like a release of the relationship, but also like a container to release anger into. And, you know, like there's so much in that. And to find some like pure, unbridled joy that's underneath all of it.
Yep, it all did. And then we were all together. And, of course, we went on to have a meal and stuff and, you know, got a little drunk and had a good time. So I thought it was, I'm so glad I got a chance to share that. It's so much
fun. I love
it.
I love it. That's great. That's awesome. Thank you. I forgot that you were a divorce lawyer. That's great. Okay. Let's see. Who else? Kelsey.
It depends on, you know, obviously whether the client is ready for this piece, but I wonder if, like, something akin to your birthday ritual where You also write out, you know, things you learned, like things that were good,
yeah.
you know, as you, and, you know, and then releasing
yeah.
that too. Like it probably wasn't all bad, right? You got
yeah.
married in the first place. Maybe you learned, maybe you grew, maybe you did things you were proud of, maybe you did things you weren't proud of, but being able to sort of name and honor all of it and then release that through either a burning or a burying or some sort of a, you know, this was a chapter of my life and I'm ready to let it go.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you're bringing that forward. A lot of the times, and this is particularly true of relationships, a lot of the times when somebody has trouble releasing a relationship is because we don't want to release something. Usually if you're releasing a relationship, it's a divorce, it's because it just ended up really shitty at the end, right? But it's had
yes.
meaning for you, and it's hard to release something that you've put so much time and energy into, that you've invested so much into, that was so important to you, if you don't also acknowledge what was good about it.
Right. Right.
And oftentimes when we can acknowledge the good, it actually helps us then release.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that you're bringing
yep.
that forward. Great idea. Good. Let's see. Let's get a couple more here. Justine.
Hi.
Hi.
So, yeah, so that's the one thing I was going to start with is just an acknowledgement of what was good and maybe what she wants to remember in a positive light and take forward
mm-hmm.
with her.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe creating, like, a symbol. You know, I had an image of like painting on a rock or something that kind of symbolizes the good of the marriage and the relationship that she wants
yeah.
to keep. And then and then I had an image of like the things she wants to release, like maybe I had an image of a pond. I'm like, this is so impractical. I mean, especially where I live, but like a pond with like a lily pad or something where she could put, you know, the things she wants to release, like on the lily pad and send it out into the pond, or it could be something with,
Yeah, I love that idea. And if it's, I mean, right, it's hard to find a pond with lily pads, but as you're talking, what I'm thinking is
yeah.
she could buy like biodegradable, like some kind of paper that is good for, not bad for the environment, and she could
mm-hmm.
make a little raft or boat out of it too,
mm-hmm.
tiny little one, almost
yeah.
like a lily pad.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that. That's such a beautiful image, too, right? It's so meaningful. And I could even see, I go crazy with these things, being a ritualist, but I love it. I love what you're bringing forward. So, you know, what she could do is, like, whatever the thing that's going to, that she's going to release, like, whatever she chooses concretely, like, let's say it's a rock, for example, that she's going to make into all the, you know, symbolize all the things she releases. She can pick up the rock either in her home or close to her home. Let's say the pond is close to her home. And as she walks to the pond, she can really feel the weight and the burden of the rock, you know, this thing that she's ready to release. Like she can really feel all the ways it has impacted her. And then it'll be even more meaningful as she sets it off.
And yeah, and the other thing I just came to my mind is like even maybe getting little pebbles, like really small rocks, and maybe throwing those into the pond and letting them sink to the bottom, like things that she wants to let go of.
Yeah, I love that. I love it. It's beautiful. Good. Thank you. I hope you guys are all starting to see like how meaningful this can be for people, for our clients. And how it can really help move through these transitions. Let's hear a couple more ideas. Carolyn.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's actually all of those things. It took a couple of letters, and one specifically was the one that I had free written connecting to my ex-husband's, I guess, higher self, he would like to say, writing it to me. And that was beautiful because it was definitely from his voice. That was very helpful.
Uh-huh.
So that, as well as doing the letter that all that was well, that we did really well. And then also the things that we learned and owning all of that, that felt really good.
Uh-huh.
And then the biggest symbol was him returning my house key, because I'm in the house, handing it back to me. And it was
it was painful, but it was also, wow, okay, yeah. He's handing my heart back,
yeah.
Handing the house back, handing, you know, just all those things. And it was, again, it hurt, but it also felt good because it was like, okay, we're really close to this piece. And then the last piece was actually having a beautiful conversation over coffee, crying, laughing, and, you know, just having, just remembering all the good times, but also the frustrating times, but we were in a good space to do that gently.
Yeah. I know you've done so much work around your divorce, and I can just hear in everything that you're sharing, like how much you put into doing this in a way that created so much consciousness for you. I love everything that you shared. And as you were talking, I was thinking, like, if you wanted to actually ritualize it a little bit more,
okay.
What
sure.
You know, I'll just toss it out there if it resonates.
Yeah.
You could take those keys.
Uh-huh.
And decide what they symbolize for you, like your empowerment, your freedom, you know, whatever it is. And then you could actually use them to like make some kind of artwork or something, or even just have them framed or something, but to do something like physically embed the keys and what they symbolize into an object for yourself.
Awesome. I like that.
Yeah, so something to play with.
Okay, cool.
Thank beautiful.
You.
Yeah, thank you. I'll take one more idea here. Gail.
Oh, these are all so meaningful to me, being almost at the end of my divorce. But I had an idea of first of visualizing I visualize a chameleon or a snake, but really a chameleon shedding its skin.
Mm.
And then I was thinking of like if you made something like a shroud, I mean not,
yeah.
But something like light weight fabric, muslin or something, and wrote the things that you're releasing. And that would be like you'd be wrapped in that.
Mm-hmm.
And
I love that. I love that idea of like literally taking off,
right.
If it were clothing or a shroud. First, I think taking some time to really feel the shroud and the ways that you've
mm-hmm.
been locked it, you know, all of that, and then you're taking it off. And then I think probably there'd want to be one other part to that, which are like once you take it off, doing something joyous or creating something to symbolize the new way of being.
Right. I thought of like the new self, like the way when animals shed their skin, they come out, they're shiny and new, like really feeling that new you and seeing how it's a product of everything you've gone through and acknowledging that.
Yes. I love that. I love that. Yeah.
I need to do that.
I think you should. I think it'd be really helpful. Some of the group work that I do, we do a lot of work with the snake and the snake shedding its skin and, you know, all of that. It's very powerful work. Good. I love it. Beautiful. So what I'd like for everybody to do just for a moment right now is take a moment. You can think either about yourself or about your clients. If you've got a client roster or some clients, I want you to go through clients and also think about yourself. Which are the clients that actually are going through something right now that might be ripe for a little ritual? How can you maybe apply this right now? If you're not working with anyone, you can think about your coaching partner or you think about yourself. Where can this actually be applied right now to the client cases that you have or to yourself? All right, so as I said, this is, you know, just a toe dip into using ritual as a coaching tool. For those of you that are with me in the facilitator training, we definitely look at a lot of ritual. It's mostly for groups, not for one-on-one. But, you know, we'll definitely touch some more on this. And those, for those of you that are going to be with me in November for the Sacred Cycles Celebrant training, that's really, we're going to have like 3 days to go into all of this, whether you want to be a celebrant or not, either celebrant or just use it for your one-on-one client work in yourself. You know, we've got all that. And I have one or two spots left in the celebrant training if this is something you want to go a lot more deeply into. But for now, before we move on from ritual, I'd love to hear either what you're taking away, what you're seeing, what you're feeling excited about when it comes to ritual as a coaching tool, or any questions you have for me. Star two. Or where you saw this might be applicable for clients or yourself right now. Kelsey.
I just have a question because it seems like, one, you have to have a lot of time for this. Well, I guess my question is, how do you know when a client is going to be like, oh, God, that was a weird, that's too weird? Like, how do you know when it's not going to alienate someone? I have a lot of clients where I'm like, I don't know, maybe she would think this is okay, but she might go, oh, God, no.
Well, so if it were me, I would just ask. I'd be like, you know, I have this idea. You're either going to love it or you're going to think this is the weirdest thing ever. And if you think it's the weirdest thing ever, I will, you know, laugh along with you. But I just wanted to put it out there because it's coming up. And I just toss it out there. Of course, if I know it's a client who I know is going to be closed off to it, I won't even go there. Although,
yeah,
honestly,
yeah,
anyone that I work with is usually going to be open to it. But
probably, yeah.
I can respect that that's not the case for everybody. But yeah, I would just kind of like be transparent and pre-qualify and, you know, and see. And even if they're not into it, it may turn into something else. Or if you know that it's a client that's just really wouldn't be into it, how can you adapt it into a journaling exercise, right? So think to like what we looked at last week, you know, maybe they're not going to be into lighting a candle or, you know, the things we've been talking about, but there's always prep work in one way or another for these rituals. So how can you adapt it into something that feels more, a little more like normalized or in the box?
Right. Okay, yeah. And I think maybe as you're speaking, I'm just like, maybe I should just have a few really simple rituals, you know, like ritual light that I could kind of practice going out there with a few people and see how that
right,
goes.
Yes. And also remember what I said earlier, everybody has, who doesn't blow out birthday candles or who thinks that's weird or throwing
right,
a penny into a fountain or cutting a ribbon at a new business ceremony. You know, like we actually, the stuff is embedded all into our culture. You know, a new ship, right? Isn't it like when new ships sail, you like smash a bottle of wine? That's a ritual, you know?
Right.
So it's actually not, it's out of the box, but it's not. It's really embedded into so many of our normal cultural goings on, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right.
A toast is a ritual, by the way. Like, let's think about a toast for a second. You've got a drink, you're lifting up a glass, you're honoring someone or making a wish, and then you're drinking it, you're taking it into your body. That's making the intangible tangible.
Yep.
And then for those of us, like I know, you know, you come from the Jewish tradition like I do, I mean, lighting Sabbath candles, right? And you see this in every single culture. That's a ritual. That's the lighting of the candles is a separating the sacred from the mundane. So it's actually embedded into so much culture and so many different traditions.
Yeah. Right. Okay, good. Well, that's helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome. Adina.
Hi. Well, first of all, I wanted to say I really loved your birthday ritual that you described. I have a birthday also coming up in August, so I'm definitely going to borrow that. And it,
yeah,
it just struck
birthday.
Me that but it just struck me that everything that you described for that ritual actually could be applicable at the start of any coaching container, mm-hmm. in a way.
Yep.
The
start or the end. And we'll see that go. That's actually like what we're moving into also when it comes to assessments and next steps. So yes, 100%.
Right. That makes sense. And then also just to say, you know, for anybody who might be have a little resistance to more of the creative rituals, that, you know, that whole list that you just mentioned of the little rituals that are so so embedded already in our culture that people are used to, that you could also just kind of lift or adapt any one of those very, very easily.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. If they're already normalized, and so you can just use them and adapt them. Yep. Awesome.
Yeah.
Great. Jessica.
Hi. So two things. I guess one is just listening to this is making me realize how much of a craving I have for this in my life, and so it's inspiring. I guess this was a little bit addressed by the last few people, so but I'm realizing also that I like the idea of creating more rituals with my family, but my family's also they're kind of cynical and sarcastic. So like I've tried before to say, oh, like, what do you think about when we light the Shabbat candles, we would do this. And, you know, everyone kind of rolls their eyes at me. So I guess I'm just thinking, you know, obviously we have, I think, things, rituals that are religious or traditional fall in a different category. And I think people's minds, because it's like, oh, well, that's just, you know, what you do. Whereas this other thing is like a little, I don't know, out there. But yep. I'm wondering if you have any tips on how to take a ritual that everyone accepts and just ever so slightly, like what would be a good way in for people who are a little bit, I don't know what the word is, but cynical or sarcastic or something.
Yeah, so I think
or just maybe uncomfortable with self. I think it's really a discomfort with self-expression. I think that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, yeah. So again, like for some people, it just may be, you know, back to like thinking through the ritual lens, but then also thinking about our journaling, what we looked at with journaling and just making it kind of, you know, because that's easier for some people. It just is. So that's one piece. But if you feel like you want to go there with some cynical people, it's back to resistance. So remember the three steps of dealing with any kind of resistance is name it, normalize it, find a solution around it. So what that would look like here is to be like, I know this probably sounds crazy to you. And, you know, for a lot of people, it just like at first it sounds a little weird or it feels like I'm not going to do that or it seems strange to do that, right? And then just say how does it feel for you? You know, what is it bringing up for you? You know, so just like look at the resistance, normalize, and it's normalizing it, and then find a solution and say like, so you know, you don't have to do this, but like if you were to take just the kernel of why I'm bringing this forward for you, whatever's meaningful for you here, like what would you be willing to do, or what would you want to turn this into?
Yeah. Okay.
And then
great.
Co-create with your client from there.
Or my kids and my husband.
Or your children. I will share with you that my children roll their eyes too. So I haven't cracked that nut. At one point, Panina's really into performing arts and theater and all of that. And at one point, her and I were taking a walk one day, and it was a full moon. And I pointed it out, and she goes, "Mommy, you know, this is how we're different. You're so much like, oh, the moon, and I'm so jazz hands. And I was like, there you go. It's all right in there. So I haven't cracked
the cookies. You know what? Thank you for sharing that. That actually makes me feel a lot better, because I think then maybe I'll just focus on myself. I think I had this vision that, you know, all these ritualists were having these wonderful family moments where everyone was, you know.
No. I still do them, and I feel like when they get older, it will be, they'll look back and it'll be meaningful, but no, not in the moment.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, great. I'll take one more. Kalea.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, I was just wanting to say, I am just so aware of how excited my body is to share this. Like, I feel like this is something really big that has been uncovered. It's been coming, but I talked to you about it a little bit the other day, I remember, but it's just like, I really feel how powerful. Like, my mother, for example, came to mind immediately. She never cleared her divorce in her body. She never did.
Yeah.
She didn't have a ritual to work with to really heal and love and let go of and bring in the new. And there's so many women that I know, personally, who you can see went through a divorce, and it hasn't cleared. Like, it's still really hard, you know? And so it's just very inspiring. I really can feel it. Like, I'm just so jazzed about it. Not jazz hands.
Not jazz hands, yeah. I love it. I'm so happy to hear. It is like, you know, that's why it's part of this coach training, because it is for those of us that resonate with it, for our clients that resonate with it, it's a very powerful tool that when used in the right moments can do so much. So I'm so happy to hear it.
So much.
Good.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Yeah, I just wanted to share that. Oh, and one other thing I was just going to share about ritual families. My family rolls with us too. But one thing I've gotten them to do is on the full moon, and even my husband, who's the biggest skeptic, they write down all the stuff that they want to let go of, and they're very willing to burn that. So
with kids burning, Jessica, I hope Jessica's hearing this.
Yeah.
With kids, burning can be fun.
Yes. yes, exactly.
All right, we'll leave it at that for now, but I'm glad that you're bringing that in. If you make it fun, sometimes they're more willing to do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Also,
and she's 10. She's not 3. You know what I mean?
Good. Okay, great. So let's segue into looking at next steps, processes. And kind of like what Adina pointed out, next steps, processes, you know, rituals are all very related to cycles, right? If we're talking about that they're there to mark transitions, they're necessarily embedded in with cyclical, you know, like cyclical living and cyclical, the ways that all of our lives are cyclical. And our coaching containers are cyclical as well. Our coaching containers are cyclical as well. There's a start to them, there's a middle to them, there's an end to them, right? And I'll just share that not everybody is like this, so you don't have to be like this, but I just want to share about me and my business a little bit. So I have built a large part of my own business on clients that continue with me. For me, that is something, we have a start, middle, and end, but then many people step into the next cycle and into the next cycle and into the next cycle. Now, some people are, some coaches are launchers, they're just launchers. And they are, what they love and what their purpose is to, like, get someone going, and then they're done. Like, they don't want to have to deal after that. And if you're that kind of person, that's great. You don't need to think about clients continuing with you. But if you are more in my camp, which is that I'm a relationship person. My relationships are very important to me, every single one of my clients, every single person that I get to connect with in my programs, the relationship is important to me. I care about them. I really care about, not to say that launchers don't care about relationships, that's not fair, but extended relationships have always been valuable and meaningful to me. And what I find is when I continue and clients continue through cycles in different programs, the work with them gets richer and richer. They experience more and more because of it. And also like to pride myself on the fact that, and this is why we're all here, right, because the quality of the coaching is so high and so transformative, you people want to continue to work with me. They find so much value and richness in the work. So what I want to share with you today in detail, and I know a lot of you have been asking for this, is the process that I take one-on-one clients through when we come to the end of one cycle, when we're at that threshold, when we're at that transition point. When we come to the end of one cycle and they're ready for the next. Now, the process that I'm going to share with you, I actually recommend, even if you don't do the whole process, to do parts of the process at the end of any coaching cycle, even if you don't want to continue with the client or you know that they're not going to continue for whatever reasons, you just won't do the last part of the process, and you'll see as I go through what I mean. But it's important, just like it's important, like we were just speaking about with rituals, to mark endings and to release the old in order to step into the new. I find that it's really important to do with coaching cycles as well. And it's also, it's an opportunity, as you'll see, to assess. So I'm going to take you through it step by step by step. So for me, you know, before, and I always call it celebrations and next steps. And it's a separate session. Usually if I know I'm not going to continue with a client, I won't schedule it as a separate session. So actually, let me take a step back. First things first, you want to decide if you want to invite a client that you're working with to continue with you. They may, right? That's the first thing, is you don't want to invite anyone to continue unless you want to continue with them. And again, that's dependent on the launching versus the extended relationship. That's dependent on the alignment. That's dependent. Also, sometimes clients are just done, right? Like they're done with the end of a cycle. I also have a lot of clients that end. We've gone through a couple of cycles, and then they come back, right? They take a break, and then they come back, right? So the first thing you want to decide is this a client that I want to invite to continue? If it's someone that you want to invite to continue, I recommend scheduling a bonus session, a session that they're not paying for. It's not part of the sessions they've paid for. It's a special gift. It's on you. Set aside an hour. And I like to schedule it as the, if possible, as the penultimate call. So I like to sandwich it in between the second to last call and the last call. And what I'll do is me or Talia, my client care coordinator, you know, about a month before, a couple weeks before, we'll send an email, and it'll just say, you know, we're coming to the end of our cycle, and it's just been so amazing to have this time together, and I wanted to have us schedule a special call outside of the space of our regular coaching sessions for us to just carve out some special time, some sacred time to really assess the ways that you've moved forward. You know, usually I work with one-on-ones for, let's say, a year at a time, the ways that you've moved forward over this last year, you know, to assess where you're at, to celebrate, and then to see also where you're going from here, you know, what your next steps are, and to see if my support might fit into that. So the reason why I like to send this email and specifically lay out at the end there to see how my support may fit into that is so that there's no switch in bait when you get to the call, right? Like, this is all about integrity. This is all about authenticity. This is all about honesty. This is all about transparency, right? Like, I'm clear. You know, sometimes I may even add to that note, like, you know, I would love to continue working together. This call is not going to be forcing you into it, but it's to explore to see if it makes sense, right? I may not always add something like that in, but you want to be clear with your client, or else it'll feel kind of not good, right? So if it can't happen as the penultimate call, it's fine. The reason why I try not to have it happen after all of the regular coaching sessions are done is because I like to know going into my last coaching session of a cycle with someone if it's the last coaching session of the cycle but we're going to be continuing, or if it's like for now this is the last session. You know, that because it changes the tone of that last session. The other reason why I like to, if possible, can't always happen, but the other reason why I like to do it before the last session, if possible, is just think about containers. Having the conversation while the client still feels like they're in the container will make the next step's conversation much more effective than having it once they're outside of the container. Once they're outside of the container, of course the relationship is still there, of course, but like things are just looser, they're looser, goosier. It makes it easier to renew a client when you're still in the container. By the way, guys, I'm going to be talking a lot, probably for the next like 20, 30 minutes, and then I'll open up for Q&As. And then we're going to go, you know, we'll do some inner work and our own assessments and all of that. So just bear with me. I want to kind of get through the entire process, take notes, and then you can ask questions. All right, so we scheduled a call. And the very first thing that I like to do on the call, just like I like to do with any coaching session and just like I like to do with any new prospect enrollment session, is I like to set intentions for the call. It helps create the container for the process, for the call. And so I'll just usually start by saying I'm so excited to have this call. I can't believe, you know, we're almost at the end here, and I want us to both share our intentions for this call. My intention is first and foremost to hold space and to create a space for you to really be able to celebrate all of the amazingness that you've created during our work together so far, and for you to be able to more fully own all the way, inner and outer ways that you've moved forward. My intention for this call is also for us to just honestly assess where you're ready to improve and where you're ready to move forward on, and for us to also be able to take a look at what you want for yourself moving forward, and for us to sketch out a little bit more what that looks like, and then through all of that, you know, I'll make recommendations for where, you know, how I think you can get to where you want to go. And then we'll take a look at if it makes sense for me to continue to support you to get you there. And then from there, I'll ask my client what her intentions are. So again, the setting of intentions is a lot about container setting, but similar to the email that I sent before, it's about clarity, right? Like, this is what this call is about. You wanting to be clear going in. From there, I almost think of the call in sections. So from there, the next section of the call is really about celebrations. And so I'll say to the client, you know, I want you to think back to where you were when we started working together. Think back to last August, you know, whatever it is. Think about where you were, what you were feeling. Usually with my clients, it's going to be about business too, where you were in your business, what was working, what wasn't working. And then I want you to think about where you are now. And I want you to share with me what you want to celebrate. What has moved forward? How have you grown on the inner or outer levels? What is it that you really want to acknowledge? Nothing is too small or too big to mention. And this can be inner or outer. And I'll just tell you guys, you know, sometimes I will give people prep homework for the call, and I'll actually ask them in the prep homework just the question that I ask them on the call, but to just start thinking about it, like, what would you like to celebrate from the last 12 months? And I will also ask them, you know, what they would like moving forward and all of that. Sometimes some people just need the prep work because they just need more time to think on it, right? I don't do it with everyone, but I do it with some people. So anyway, I ask that question, and here's what you need to know as the coach. You already know this because we looked at this in creating awareness and celebrations. I want to remind you of this. Our clients, for as much as they can celebrate, and through working with you, especially if you're using sacred depths methodologies, they will have learned so much better and so much more how to celebrate and own their accomplishments and all of that. And they still, even when you get to this question, they're going to only see part of how much they've grown, and they're not going to name all the things. Just expect it. Expect it to happen. The reason why they're not going to name all the things is for all the reasons we looked at, you know, back to our celebrating module in creating awareness. Hard for people to own stuff. Maybe it's come easier to them, so they overlook it. They don't want to seem too self-centered by saying it. They don't think it's a big deal, right? Like all the things. So the reason why I point this out to you, and this is why I love Next Steps call. I love regular enrollment conversations, as you guys know, especially those of you that have listened to my 5-hour training on it. But the reason why I especially love Next Steps calls is because we already know our clients so well. And it's an opportunity, as it is throughout all of our coaching, to be the truth tellers and the holders of space for them. And so, you know, as my client answers the question, I obviously reflect back and I affirm everything that they say, but I always, always, always am going to then expand on what they've said. I'm going to bring in pieces that they haven't mentioned. I'm going to say, you know, there are some other pieces that I want to add in here, and I'm going to go through it. So it might mean that you as the coach want to think about this before you get on the call. You know, what is it that you really want to celebrate your client for? Like, what do you want to acknowledge them for? What are all of the amazing inner and outer ways that they've moved forward? And what I always say on the call is there's been so much. We're not going to get through all of them on this call because we would just spend the whole call in celebrations, and you know, there are lots of things we want to do on this call. So we're going to name some of the biggest ones. And so I will always, always add, it helps in so many ways. It helps them own more fully, but it also is yet another example, and they've gotten this over and over and over through the coaching, if you're using sacred depths methods, but it's another way where they just feel so fully seen by you and where they know they have a safe space to stand more fully in how amazing they are. So that's the first part of the call, is celebrations. And then from there, the next kind of section of the call, I like to move in and I say, okay, so based on all the ways that you've moved forward, inner and outer, and it's almost like this is now, we've just identified this incredible and strong foundation that you have for yourself right now. Next thing I want to know is I want you to look forward a year from now. Where would you like to be in a year? It's kind of like the vision part of the enrollment conversation, right? I'm asking them to vision. And the client will lay out, and I'll, you know, inner and outer, where they want to be in a year. And same thing as with the celebrations. They're going to name hopefully a pretty awesome vision, but you know your client so well and you know what they're capable of, and they're not going to name as much as they're ready for and capable of. So I always, after I reflect and mirror and affirm and acknowledge, you know, their vision, I'll say, now, you know, I love all of that, and there's some other things that I actually see for you. And I wanted to share them with you, and let me know if any of these resonate for you or spark other ideas. And I'll name other inner or outer things. So, like outer, again, because I tend to work with business, you know, if they are not naming, I know that they're ready for groups, you know, and they haven't named it. Or if I know they're ready to raise their rates and they haven't named it. Or I know they're ready, they've got a brilliance that they just haven't been putting out there or marketing. I'll name it, you know, whatever it is. And then I'll also, you know, if there are any inner pieces, you know, like I feel like this is really the year where you're ready to step more fully into work-life balance. And this is the year where I feel like you're really ready to have more confidence when it comes to blah. This is the year where it's time to up-level your team and take more of a leadership, whatever it is. So I'll add to the vision and, of course, you know, see what resonates with my client and what doesn't. We never want to, you know, do anything that doesn't land or resonate, and we'll do some co-creating there and create, like, a really beautiful vision. And then from there, I'll say, okay, great. So when you think about where you're at and when you think about what you'd like to create next, where are the places where you feel you're gonna need support, where you feel like you might struggle, where you feel like left to your own devices, it's gonna be hard? So this is really a gap question. I'm asking them to identify where they sense their gaps are going to be. And again, it's another opportunity to add, of course, doing this in a loving way, because we don't want to, you know, erase all of the celebrations. Celebrations are so big. But you know, like, you have this benefit of knowing this, your clients so well. You know their fears and their limiting places and all of that, and you also know what they're capable of, right? And so They're going to name some good, important places, and you're probably going to want to add to that, right? You know, for example, accountability, or being able to commit, or learning how to do X, or moving more deeply into befriending Y fear, or stretching when it comes to blah, 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 right? So whatever it is, and again, you may want to think through these pieces before you get on the phone with them, but you're really going to want to find the places where you know your client is going to need help moving forward and where you can help them moving forward. And, you know, back to this idea of truth-telling, I'm always, you guys know, like, I'm always a truth-teller with my clients, with my enrollment conversations, and the same is true in the next steps call. Like, I will say point blank to a client, I 100% think that you can accomplish everything that we've laid out here. I know that this can happen for you in this next year, but I want to be honest, and you can tell me if you agree with me. In order for you to do this, you are going to have to be fierce with yourself around stretching, around being visible. Or, you know, if you're going to do this, you're going to have to blueprint every month and really follow the action steps. Or you're going to have to set stronger boundaries with blah, blah, blah. And I know this is going to be hard for you, but you're ready for this. Like, you're up for this. This is the place, right? These are the places, right? So it's a real honest conversation of troubleshooting and really talking about what's possible and having full faith in you, all of that, and then also assessing where the support is needed and where the help is needed. From there, once you've done that, then the next step in the conversation, and this is kind of like the call to action, this is the invitation part, the next step in the conversation is to say, you know, all of the things that we've been speaking about, these are all things that you know I can help you with moving forward. And I can really see the value of you having support on these pieces moving forward and you having a safe and sacred container for all of this moving forward. And, of course, you know, if you don't already know, I would just be honored and thrilled to continue to support you. Is that something that you'd like to take a closer look at? So the question there is really important. You don't want to just tell, similar to regular enrollment conversation, you always want to ask, are you interested, right? Whatever it is. You want to get the green light on sharing the information before you share the information about how you can continue to work together. It's an energetic, it's an important energetic thing. You want to get that permission. You want to get that green light. And I'll say that 9 times out of 10, if it's a client that you really feel in your heart is meant to continue working with you and you've kind of done all the pieces well and effectively that I've spoken about, really 9 times out of 10, the person is going to say, yeah, I want to know, you know, what would it look like? Now, you know, just what I want to mention here before we go any further is, like, sometimes there's just, they're so aligned. You want to continue, they want to continue, but it's just like there's a timing thing or there's a money thing or whatever. Like, sometimes that just happens too, right? But a lot of times, similar with regular enrollment processes, sometimes the resistance can be moved through if you really hold powerfully all of the pieces that we're talking about today. So once a client says, yeah, I'd love to learn more, then there are a couple of things you can do at that point. So if you feel like they're a pretty sure yes, and particularly if you're offering the same program that they've had at the same rate, you know, or it's in the ballpark, you can at that point just share. You know, it would look exactly the same or it would be, the, you know, whatever it is. And ask them if they would like to continue. So that's one scenario. You don't need that two-step call like you do with new clients, especially if the numbers are in the same place. Now, let me say something else. I'm at a point in my business, and I think a lot of people on this call are, I personalize everything. So, meaning I don't just have like these set private one-on-one offerings. It's either this or that. Like, I really look to what the client needs, how much they need, et cetera, et cetera. And especially even more so with continuing clients, you know, so I may say to someone, you know, this last year we've met every 3 weeks, and I think we could continue like that. But the truth is that, you know, and tell me if you agree with me, it feels like you need a little more accountability, and it feels like it needs for the container to be a little tighter. And I've just noticed the times where we did happen to meet every other week, there was so much more that got done. I want to suggest that we meet twice a month, right? Or, you know, so you want to really do what's in the best interest of the client. And sometimes I'll say the opposite, right? Like, we don't need to meet as much as we did. Or, you know, this last time we didn't have a full day of VIP, and I think we're going to need one this time. Or, you know, whatever it is, and I'll personalize it. So a lot of times I'll just tell them right there and then on the call. A lot of times I, as the coach, honestly, I need the call in order to understand what format and container the client needs next. And at that point in the call, I'll say to my client, you know, I really want to personalize this for you, and so let me just take the day, you know, based on everything we've spoken about, and think about one or two options that I think would really work for you, and I'll shoot you an email with all of the information on it. So, you know, I'll do one of those things next, and then if it's going to go, if you're not going to kind of seal the deal on that call, you're going to want to schedule a second call and give homework. So you want to schedule a second call before you get off the phone, hopefully for within the week, and you want to give some homework questions. And again, the homework questions, you want them to reflect basically everything that you spoke about in the call. So you can ask questions like, what kind of support do you feel will really serve you moving forward? What are you excited about when it comes to looking at the next year and what you want to accomplish? I'll send you guys a list of some questions that I assign for homework. And then from there, the second call is actually very much like a regular second enrollment conversation call. If you're going into a second call, you'll get on. It should be a much shorter call. You'll set intentions. You'll ask your client what resonated for them, what's been, you know, resonating for them since you last spoke, and what came up through the homework. If there's any resistance, you'll work with resistance, and you know, you'll move towards hopefully getting a yes on continuing to work together. All right, I just spoke a lot. We still have a lot more to do on the call, but let's pause here for a moment. I'm guessing that there are questions or reflections. So, star two, what questions do you have for me, or what are you seeing that feels important here? What do you want to share? What do you need around everything I just laid out for you? Carolyn.
Hey, Joanna. This was great, of course, as always. And so, just a quickie, and I know I can probably adapt this on my own, but I work in 90-day sprints. I don't do a year. So is there anything off the top of your mind that that you would see as an adaptation I would need to make? Because I'm not talking, look at all we've accomplished in a year.
Yeah.
I'm
used to yeah, yeah.
Very specific over 90 days in a sprint.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to answer that question, but I have a question for you first.
Sure.
Is it only 90 days? And if so, why are there not other options if you continue with people?
Well, they do have an option to work with me longer. I personally prefer to work in 90-day sprints. And so, and I will do it with someone I've worked with for a while, where I'll offer them a year.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. That makes sense. So first, what I'll just suggest is if it's a continuing client, they've done 90 days and they're going to continue, I would maybe not put the 90, if you feel okay with it and it's client by client, I think you should put 6 months, like give them two options of 6 months or a year as opposed to another 90 days.
Oh, I like
if they're
that.
Not into it, then bring another 90 days back in. But like that way you don't have to keep on renewing every 90 mm-hmm. days and you know you've got that income for the X amount of months.
Yep.
If they're continuing and they've loved the first 90 days, chances are they're going to be willing to go for something longer.
Okay. I love okay. that.
Okay, so that's one thing. And then because it's 90 days, if the process is still going to be the same, it's probably just going to be a little bit shorter, you know? Of course, I know they accomplished so much in 90 days, but it's less because it's 90 days. So my guess is it's not going to be a full hour call. You know, it'll be like a 30-minute call. You'll just move through it. I mean, longer than 30 minutes, probably 40-ish. But I don't think there's actually that much to adapt because you want to hit all of the points that I mentioned. Those are the points that are really needed for them to, number one, feel like, oh, my God, this has been amazing. To feel like, number two, oh, my gosh, there's something big that I want next. And to feel like, and I need help to get there. So I know I didn't really answer your question about adapting. Is that helpful? Uh-oh, did I lose you? Where are you? You there, Carolyn? Are you there? All right, I don't know if I lost you, Carolyn. I'll come back to you. Justine.
Hey, so real quick, if you do the assessment call, the call before the last call, and then the client is not going to continue with you, what do you focus on the final call?
Yeah, so again, you want to only do the next steps call if you really want to continue with the client and you feel like they're going to continue with you. If not, everything that I shared minus the invitation to continue is a great way to have the last call. But if you happen to have the next steps process and it just turns out that they're not going to continue, then I like to spend that last call taking the steps, like the things that they need support on. And I'll say, like, do you want to create a little bit of a strategy for your next 2 months? And I'll help them blueprint out inner outer pieces of what they really need next.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Yeah, good question. Kalea.
Hey, excuse me. So I have about three questions. One is, so are you doing program guides for new enrollments?
I don't do for new or for continuing?
For new.
I do. Yeah. New person, I'll do a program guide that I give them, you know, I send them via email after the first call.
Mm-hmm.
But for continuing, yeah. I don't send a full guide. I'll just put in an email, you know, in the body of an email, the
yeah.
format.
Yeah. I just, you know, it makes so much sense. And the program guides that I create, you're like these deluxe designed things that I love to do, but I just wondered if you were doing that. Okay, and then my other two questions are, one you just answered in the sense of, you know, if you know the client's not a good fit, like once in a while you'll get that client where you're like, I really don't think that this is a good fit client, you wouldn't book that sacred call, that middle call?
No, I would spend the last session doing the celebrations, the visioning, and the, you know, I wouldn't go as deep into like where do they need help, but I'd look at a couple of points that for them to know to work on moving forward. Because again, it's a great, like when we think about cycles and the end of one cycle and the beginning of a new cycle and what we need to release and what we need to move forward, those are kind of all the makings of being able to do that in a powerful way.
So what if the client thinks, like, how so you just don't make the CTA?
Exactly.
But what if the client really wants to continue and you know that they're not a good fit for you? How do you handle that?
Good question. So always loving honesty, right? So I personally feel that it's out of integrity to continue with a client if I don't, even if they really, really want to, and if they want to throw money at it, right, like if I don't feel like it's going to serve them or, you know, then it's out of integrity. And so sometimes there are reasons that are hard for a client to hear. And, of course, you don't want to, like, share harsh honesty, you know. But I will say to the client, you know, I feel so honored that you want to continue, and I feel like our work isn't done, and I feel like in the future it would be so valuable for you to continue, but I don't want to for you to make the investment unless you're really ready to create what you want to create, and my feeling is that you need to first work on X before we work together, or you need to do Y before we work together, you know, whatever it is. And sometimes it's with another practitioner, and sometimes it's on their own, or whatever it is, but that's usually how I'll handle that.
Okay. And then my last question is, doing yearly, I want to take more time off, like, you know, how you take August off mostly and most of December. How do you work, I don't remember, like, how do you work that with the new enrollment? So if you roll... You're doing running enrollments, right? Like any time of year, someone can come in as a private client.
Yep.
How do you handle that month that you take off, those 2 months a year that you take off in their call schedule?
Yeah, so they just know ahead of time that I take that time off. It's in the welcome packet. And also because my clients schedule all their sessions out at the beginning of the program, they know that we're not going to be meeting then. Like this week and last week with all of my client calls, there's been a lot of conversations of like, okay, this is when I will be available, because I do, the truth is I take August off, but I can't, at some point towards the end of August, I can't help but want to check my email and see what's happening with people, right, for better or worse. And so I let them know this is when I'm really unplugged, this is when I'll be checking, but you may not hear from me right away. And then we'll create an August plan for them. We'll create a blueprint for them. We'll, like, get them set so they can be working themselves through what they need to during that time.
Yeah. Yeah, that feels really practical. Okay, awesome. Thank you. That's what I wanted to know. Thank
you. You're welcome. You're welcome. Carolyn, I just wanted to come back to you. You got cut off there. I want to make sure you got everything you needed.
Yeah, I think I got it. Thank you, Joanna.
Okay, good. You're welcome. Okay, so any star two, any other cues on this before we continue on with our call today? Okay. So with all of this talk of assessments and ritual, I want to give us an opportunity to just do a little bit of assessment and maybe, if we have time, a little bit of ritual. This is really important. So hopefully I've already established for you the importance of doing assessments, particularly at the end of cycles. Oh, and you know, I should just mention, it's sometimes nice to do a mini assessment halfway through a cycle. So I won't do like the full extensive process that I laid out for you, but for some clients, it's nice to have a midway session. I sometimes work it into their format, like they know it's a special midway session call. And it's an opportunity where we'll assess their progress, like what they've done so far. And then we also assess like where the weak links are so far that we know we need to address in the second half of the container. I don't do it with everyone, but it can be really useful for some people. Okay, so let's move into our own assessment. So think about where you were last autumn, last summer. Think about where you were last August, particularly in terms of your coaching skills. Some of you were already coaches and amazing coaches for some time. Some of you had never coached before. Wherever you were, think about where you were with your coaching skills, with your confidence in your coaching, with your confidence in your ability to help clients through hard issues. If you were working with clients, think about, you know, where you were with some of your clients, if there was some funkiness or not funkiness. Think about the tools that you had in your toolbox. Think about your listening skills and your creating awareness skills and your questioning skills and your accountability skills and your systems and, you know, all of that. And then think about where you are now, a year later. Think about experiences where you've been able to put new skills to use with clients or buddies or partners. And also personally, think about just where you were with your own self-awareness a year ago versus where you are now. Think about your attitudes about yourself and your coaching and your clients a year ago. And think about where you are now. No matter who you are, whether you've showed up for every single one of our calls together and done all the homework and done all the practice, or whether you've only shown up for a couple, so much happens in a year. So much has changed for you. So much has changed for you. And so I'd love for you to first write down on the personal level, what are some things that you want to celebrate? So on the personal level, your confidence, your energetics, how you feel about clients, how you feel about yourself as a coach. What has shifted? What has evolved? What has grown? What would you like to celebrate? And also your own self-understanding and self-awareness of your habits and reactions and fears and thought patterns, you know, all of that. And everybody should have at least 4 or 5 things that they want to celebrate, first just on the personal level, just personal. And take a moment with that. Nothing is too big or too small. And really own how far you've come. And then what do you want to celebrate when it comes to your coaching skills? So I'll just go through, not all, but I'll go through some of the skills that we've been through. So what do you want to celebrate when it comes to your listening skills? What do you want to celebrate? What has grown, evolved, transformed, shifted when it comes to your creating awareness skills, your ability to help your clients see patterns, your ability to reflect the truth, your ability to honor what is when things are crappy and create a safe space for that, your ability to support your clients to celebrate. So what do you want to celebrate when it comes to creating awareness? What do you want to celebrate when it comes to your questioning skills? What's improved? Are you asking bolder questions? Are you asking more focused questions? Are you now asking more open-ended questions that are yielding more breakthroughs? Are you better able to use client language? Are you better able to use new language? What do you want to celebrate around how you ask questions? What's changed and shifted and grown for you? What about, and I know I'm going through these quickly, so hopefully you're catching up with me. What about when it comes to your visioning skills and your strategizing skills? What do you want to really acknowledge and own and celebrate in terms of your growth? Visioning and then helping clients strategize. What do you want to celebrate when it comes to systems, contracts, scheduling, boundaries, and not taking over responsibility? Has anything shifted there for you? What are you seeing? What's important there for you to honor and celebrate, acknowledge? What about handling resistance and the resistance archetype? What has shifted from last year? You may notice that there is less client resistance. There's less of the victim or the judge or the angry one or the flake or whatever it is, and that's actually because you've improved in your container holding skills. You're holding the container differently, so less of it is coming up. But as we've looked at, it will still sometimes come up. So if it has, what are you noticing has changed for you? What's shifted? What has grown? What do you want to celebrate around working with clients through their fears, through their self-sabotage, through their limiting beliefs? What's evolved for you? What are you seeing? What's shifted or evolved for you, even just in terms of your relationships with your clients? What do you want to celebrate about that? What do you want to celebrate when it comes to accountability, either for yourself or for clients? What has moved forward in terms of really being able to hold accountability and accountability structures? Remember, there's nothing too small or too big for this list. What do you want to celebrate and acknowledge by way of bringing in the four levels of learning and transformation, or around bringing more journaling in, or even just like more wisdom, right? We've looked so much this last year at human behavior and issues and wisdom, whether it's about embracing the mystery or time or, you know, whatever it is. Where have you been able, whether it's wisdom we looked at here or your own wisdom, right? What else What else do you want to celebrate and acknowledge? And then take a moment, what about your business? Even if you're just starting out, even if you haven't taken many actions yet, things have shifted from in the last 12 months around your business. Maybe you're much more ready to call in clients, right? And then for others of you, there are other pieces, right? But think back a year ago to last August. And think about where you are now, inner and outer, when it comes to your business, when it comes to your messaging, when it comes to your marketing, when it comes to your rates, when it comes to your willingness to outreach, when it comes to just numbers in your business. See, whatever it is for you, I promise you everybody has at least three things that they can celebrate, and like celebrate for real when it comes to your business. Maybe you're showing up with more of yourself in your business. Maybe your prospect calls are getting better. What is it? Okay, next question, and this is one literally we could spend 20 minutes on, but I'm going to give you about 3 or 4 minutes for this one. What have you learned this last year? And here's what I mean by this question. Everything is a learning experience, right? So when we experiment with things, and especially when things don't go the way we want them to, we learn something about ourselves or our business or coaching. When we try something new, you know, we might learn that we just hate to do evening sessions, right? I recently learned, I'll just tell you guys quickly, with Curriculum Lab, we always have an early bird for most, like, programs. And for Curriculum Lab, on top of the early bird, we had, like, the first 24 hours. It was another $100 off the program. We had so many sales in that first 24 hours. And then we had more sales after that, but, it, like, nobody bought for, like, a week after that. And it was a learning. Like, when you add an extra $100 off, people think of that as the early bird, and then all of a sudden the early bird price is a little too expensive. It was funny. We had more sales at full price once the early bird was done than during the early bird itself because of that extra $100 off beforehand, right? So, again, that may not be relevant to you and your business, but it was a big learning, right? Maybe you've learned this year about what kind of clients you really work well with and what kind of clients you really don't work well with. Maybe you've learned that you're amazing at visualizations and you didn't even realize that until we got to our Befriend Your Fear process. Maybe you've learned that you have a fear of X that you didn't know. It's all important, right? So again, we could never get to all of the learnings, but when you think about all that's gone well, all that hasn't gone the way that you wanted, let's list out at least 10 things that are important learnings for you from this last year, from when we started the program. Maybe an important learning has been always set the container when you start a coaching cycle or a session, right? What have been some of your most important learnings? You can also finish that list later on because really everybody's going to have at least 30, I promise you. But for now, see if you can get to 10. If you've gotten to three learnings and you think you don't have more, you do. What have you learned this year about yourself, about your work, about coaching, about what you're capable of? About where you need to work for yourself. It's all so valuable. It's so valuable to know what the learnings are. All right, let's pause here. There's a lot more assessment for us to do. And also, I didn't mention, I have a special little something for you guys at the end, something that's really special to me and my heart that I wanted to share with you. So we'll definitely get to that. And there's also more assessment. But I'd love to pause here for a moment, and I'd love to hear some of your celebrations and some of your learning. I'd love to hear from a couple of you, and also if you want to post them in the Facebook group, too. But start to, what do you really want to say out loud that you really want to own and celebrate for yourself, or a learning that you really want to own? Who is this? This is 2064.
This is Linda.
Hi.
Hi. So, just want to say that I'm giving up part of my birthday to be on this
call.
Oh,
is today your today's your birthday, right?
Yes.
Happy birthday!
Thank you. So yes, I'll have lots of catching up to do, and I have a massage scheduled for later this afternoon. So, anyway, yeah, my biggest takeaway is that. You know, when I signed up to do this, I was coaching from past experience, wisdom, all of that, and a lot of intuitive responses. And that is good, but, it, you know, there are those places where you just kind of going, and so having, you know, the way that you lay things out, and which still honors that that part of yourself that can tune in, but also has resources and structures for getting to the matter quickly yet delicately and honoring their space to come to that answer. I think the biggest aha for me was just learning how to sit with them coming to that realization on their own with occasional exchanges or questions that would help them go deeper to that. And so, you know, that just has made me a better coach. So thank you.
You're welcome. It's so awesome. And yeah, I know you were already incredible when you started. And you know, I'm hearing a lot of things in what you're sharing, but part of what I'm hearing, which I think is really important, is like so many of us that are meant to be coaches, we just like intuitively we
right.
can do it. But then sometimes we can't recreate what we did. And we're like, how?
Right,
what?
Exactly.
And now you have, I think, some more guidelines and methodology so you can be like, I mean, again, I know you're already amazing and super consistent, but like even more consistent and to go deeper.
Yes, thank you so much. And, yeah, I'm just, you know, some of the offerings that you have coming up, as I mentioned, there's been some conflicts with travel out of the country or this or that. But yes, you will be in my world, and I will be in yours for years to come.
I know that. I have no doubt. Good, good, good. All right, let's gonna hear a couple of more of these. Maura.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I learned about kind of my my inner critic that's always with me. So as I'm with a client, there's always that voice that says, there's a perfect thing to say here, mm-hmm. and you don't know what it is, mm-hmm. and what do you think of, you know, and just this chatter, this judgment.
Yeah, and what, how have you noticed has shifted for you now that you're aware of that?
I know to just notice it and then to refocus, to refocus on my client. And when I do that, it's almost, I've just fallen in love with coaching. It's just, there's this feeling of being completely in sync, like it's almost a dance, and it's so intuitive and primal.
Yeah.
And I can get there if I can just kind of acknowledge that inner critic, like, yes, I see you, I know. But remember, by the end of this call, I will have gone back into the dance with the client in a way that I can trust.
Yes, I love it. That's massive upgrade in energetics. Right there,
yeah.
Which is an upgrade, a massive upgrade in your coaching.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Good. So good to hear.
Yeah. And I've just completely fallen in love with coaching through this program. It's a great joy in my life, and I just can't thank you enough, Joanna.
You're welcome. I'm so happy to hear it. And you are meant to be a coach. So.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm going to take one more, and then we're going to keep on going. Nicole.
Well, where shall I start? I learned so much. I cannot even describe how much, but let me, pick something very important. I'm an experienced coach. I was an experienced coach, but when I started with Sacred Depth, I thought, oh, my God, what did I do all those years before? And I truly learned so much around the advanced topics. I think my leadership has grown. I'm now a proud coach. I think that it's so important. I don't believe in coaching light, as you sometimes mention in your pages. I don't offer coaching light. I'm a proud coach. And by really owning that and claiming that position, I think I've grown in visibility by just being me to coach on my terms. Yeah. And, that has helped my brand and et cetera, but it was my inner shift to do this. And I remember a particular situation in January with a client, which was very difficult. And at first, years ago, I would have thought, oh, my God, it's me. I'm a lousy coach. It's not good. But you learned us to take a step back and to reflect and to do the inner work. It wasn't about me. I could help her from that difficult stage to go from A to B.
Yeah.
And this is because I've grown in leadership, and it's a profession I love. I love coaching, and now I'm proud to tell everybody I'm a coach. And I want to talk about the profession and
to grow your business.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
go ahead.
It has grown my business, and what it has grown, it has challenged my creativity. I want to write about topics on human behavior, and you learn so much. And my curiosity has grown, so I'm now following my curiosity. I'm writing my blogs around topics around how to choose things about human behavior, and I'm fine with it. I love doing that, so I'm more outgoing now. So, to love me.
Great. I hear it in the energy in your voice. It's so exciting.
Yeah,
I'm so happy to
hear
it.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. All right, let's continue on. And you do want to hear more celebrations too. Please, post on the Facebook, all of that. But we've still got more today, so let's keep on going. So let's move to visioning now a little bit. And again, we're not going to do a full visioning right now, but it's a good moment to just think about this. When you think about the next 12 months, the next year, what is it that you really want for your skills, your coaching skills, your client work, your business, and yourself? What do you really want to have happen over this next year for your skills, your client work, your business, and yourself? And just start to jot down some ideas on that. Give you a minute. What is it that you really want? Be honest with yourself. What is the bigger goal that you haven't written down because you're either embarrassed of it or you feel like it's just not possible or it's too stretchy or it's too scary? Write that one down too. You don't have to tattoo these to your body, I promise, but it's good for you to acknowledge what it is that you really desire. Take a few more moments with that. And then here's the next question. When you take a look at what you want to create over the next 12 months, all that you just wrote down, when you take a look at what you want to create, what do you know you're going to need on both the inner and the outer level in order to accomplish your vision? What do you know you're going to need on the inner and the outer levels to accomplish it? So, for example, inner level might be deeper confidence, more willingness to be visible, working with your anger, setting stronger boundaries, right? And then outer pieces may be accountability, or, you know, I really don't know how to do that. Like, I don't know how to do a preview presentation, and I need that in order to accomplish my goal. Or I really need to, you know, an outer piece that I need is to work more on my questioning skills. Or to have an overarching marketing plan, or to start blueprinting for my business, right? Whatever the things are, on the inner and outer levels, what do you know you're really going to need in order to accomplish what you want? You're going to need to create more time and space for your creativity, right? So get clear on that now for yourself. What are you going to need? Creating visions, in my opinion, are, I don't want to say useless. They're useless. They're always great no matter what. But we want to back it up with real grounded, and this is how I'm going to get there. These are the things that I need to get there. I'll give you a minute with this one. What are you going to need? Take another 30 seconds with that. So it's almost like you're giving yourself a little bit of a prescription for where you want to go next, for what you know you want to work on next, or where the things that you need to gather information or support on next. Okay, so we just did a mini assessment, if you will. We've got about 15 minutes left, a little less than that. I want to spend our last 15 minutes taking our assessment, moving it into a ritual, and then I'm going to give you my special little something-something that I've got for you at the end. So as you take a look at the assessment that you just did, and all the things that came forward, and hopefully a lot of information and awareness came forward, I want you to start to look and see, and you probably will even, many of you will just know immediately when I ask you this, what are you ready to release? What is it that you know you've been holding on to this last year? Could be a belief, could be a fear, could be a pattern, could be a habit, could be a relationship, could be a program in your business, could be a rate that you have, could be an iteration of an ideal client, or it could be anything, anything. Could be a team member. What have you been holding on to that you're ready to release? It's done. It's not going to serve you moving into your next cycle. And whatever that thing is that you're ready to release, you can just like rip a little piece of paper off from your notebook pad and write that thing down on the piece of paper. Whatever this thing is that you're ready to release. Take a moment and hold the piece of paper and feel the weight of this thing, this fear, this price, this program, this relationship, office space, whatever it is, whatever the thing is that you're ready to release. Just make the piece of paper symbolic of this thing and feel how you've been carrying it and how it's probably become a little bit of a burden for you. And take a moment, even though you're ready to release it, take a moment and honor whatever this thing is. If it's a fear, how it's maybe protected you. If it's a belief, how it's pushed you to do, you know, certain things that you're ready to do them in different ways, but it's helped. If it's a program, all of just how the ways you've taken satisfaction in the program or how you've helped, right? Whatever it is, it's had its rightful place up until now, or else you wouldn't have released it yet. You've had it for a reason, for a sacred reason and an important reason. And take a moment and honor the purpose that it has served. You can hold it to your heart if you want to honor it, whatever it is. Take a moment and honor it. And now make the decision to let it go. And as I said earlier, sometimes we release something once and it's gone. It's always awesome when that happens. And sometimes it's like we're starting a process, the process of releasing it, which is also very powerful. But whatever it is, make a decision inside of yourself to release this. And however is going to be meaningful for you, however you'll be able to really feel it inside of you, rip it up as a symbol of your commitment to releasing it. Rip the piece of paper. Rip, 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 rip. Do it. Do it. Rip it. Rip it. Rip it up. Release it. And then go to the garbage or go to the toilet and release it out. Let it go. And almost like as you let the pieces of paper go, just it's almost like you're cleansing your hands. You're just wiping your hands of the energy of this thing. Just let it go. Let it go. Just let it go. Honor it and let it go. Let it go. Let it go. And then from there, I asked you at the beginning of the call to see if you can find a piece of jewelry or an object. It could even be something you're wearing right now is fine. These intuitively, just an object, something, whatever it is, we're going to honor you. So in that whole list of celebrations that you've had and what you've learned, I want you to pick one thing that feels maybe most important that you really want to honor, like you really want to honor it. It's really important to you that this thing has happened or this growth has happened or this thing has shifted or this skill has manifested, whatever it is for you that feels really important. And I want you to take, you know, your ring. I wouldn't do it, like, if it's a wedding ring. That's kind of the only thing, you know, but any other kind of jewelry, clothing, a scarf, an object, a rock, whatever it is, and hold it in your hand, whatever the object is, and we're going to infuse the celebration into the object. So whatever it is that you're holding, close your eyes, put your hands on it, and really infuse whatever it is that you're celebrating into this object. Make this object special and sacred with the energy of your celebration. It's really breathing the celebration, the honoring into this. And then if it's a piece of jewelry, I invite you to put it on. If it's a scarf, I invite you to put it on. If it's an object, I invite you to intentionally place it somewhere. It doesn't mean you have to keep it on forever or keep it in that place forever, but let's just continue to really seal in the honoring by intentionally placing the object. And now that object can always remind you of this new thing that you own. And then finally, I want to give you the opportunity to set an intention for yourself. So if you have a pretty piece of paper, that's great. But if not, you can just use a piece of paper from your notebook. Based on your vision and all the assessment that you did, of course, the whole vision is going to be an intention, but if you're going to pick one thing, an inner or outer thing, that you know no matter what you're committing to, you're committing to ending your days at 4 p.m. You're committing to, you know, putting out this program that you've been ready to put out. You're committing to doing client outreach. Whatever it is for you, pick one intention that feels really important. To be more at peace. So it could be inner, right? To be more at peace or whatever it is. To own blah, blah, blah. And in a way that is meaningful and intentional for you, I want you to write the intention down on a piece of paper and you can almost like decorate it a little bit. You can come back after this call and like really decorate it. But for now, just write out what the intention is in an intentional way. And once you've written it out, just put your hand on it and really infuse the paper, the intention, with your commitment energy. Really commit. So it's like you're infusing the paper with your commitment, and the paper is coming back at you and infusing you and your body with more commitment. So really commit to whatever you've written down. Make it sacred. Make it important. And I want to invite you to keep that paper either by your computer or your bedstand or a place that is important for you for the next 30 days. Okay, so we're in our last minute. I know we're moving quickly. And I wanted to end by sharing with you something that I wrote a number of years ago. I wrote this about 10 years ago. It's something that's really, it was important to me then, and maybe even more important to me now. It's a message that I wrote for my clients at the time, but also for Penina, my older daughter, who had just been born. It's a message that I wrote for myself. And it's a message that I'm getting teary-eyed just saying it, that I wrote for you, even though we haven't been working together yet. And I want to share this with you. You are a daughter of the earth, a lover, an artist, a friend, a healer, a woman. You are complete already, whole unto yourself. Your heart is the barometer for what is right in your life. You have choice. Choice is freedom. At any moment, you can choose to step into the flow, step into your flow, and move along with the energy. Honor yourself. Love yourself. Know that you were put on this planet to do amazing things with your love. Open, open, open more. You are ready. Always ever unfolding, you are trust, knowing, 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 knowing no matter what. You are here, and that is all that counts. You are magic. Without effort, you are magic. You are so important. You are seen. You can't hide any longer because you and your gift are so needed right now. You are alive, pulsating, bursting, opening, moving. You are you. In all of your beauty, love, wisdom, anger, and grief, you are you. In all your perfect imperfection, you are you, and you are so important. You are sacred, holy, holder of mysteries, magician, you are called. You hear the calling even if you don't yet understand it. You recognize it, and somewhere inside, you know that you must follow. You are ready. You feel it in your DNA, in your bones. You're ready to finally step into the fullness of who you are. You can't wait any longer. You matter. You've always mattered. The women have always been the priestesses, the holders of sacred space where anything was possible. I invite you to become the priestess of your life. Create time and space to honor the moonlight, to attune to the cycles, to befriend your wisdom, to find the spirit inside of you, to explore your passions, to ignite your dreams, to forgive yourself, to forgive others. You are a daughter of the earth, and you hold all the answers inside of you. You are the one that you've been waiting for. And so we're almost over time, but I just, you know, want to hear if there are any last words, any last pieces, and I just want to share my deep gratitude with each one of you, whether you've been on the calls live or whether you've been listening to the recordings. It's just been such an honor to be able to share this space with you, to be able to share what I've had to share with you. It's been such an honor to watch and witness all that you've been through and to hold the space with you. I do what I do for those of you that are here, and I am in deep, deep gratitude for the opportunity. So thank you. So just move into logistics for a moment, and then I'll open up for any last words. I'm going to keep the Facebook group open for a couple of more weeks, so get what you need there. I'm going to be in and out of the Facebook group over the next few weeks because I'm about to go on my long August break. There was something else. Oh, and you have all the materials forever. You've got, you know, all of the stuff in the membership center for as long as you want. I'd love to end with just hearing anything that wants to be shared or said or any last questions.
Yeah. Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
And hi, everyone. I haven't shared or spoken because I haven't been on the calls, but I've been so deeply connected over the last 10 months, and I'm just really touched right now. So grateful, you know, for the constant reminder and what you just shared about, you know, being whole, perfect, and complete, just the way that we are and that our clients are, and the power of choice and mattering simply by existing. I just think it's so important. And the work that you do inspires me to continue the work that I do and to fully step into it. And I'm totally in shock that I'm this overcome with emotion, but you know, that the value of experiencing the experience and then being able to communicate it in a way that other people get it is such a gift that you share with us that I know myself that I will be able to continue to share. And, I just wanted to share my gratitude and just say thank you. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
So I'm so excited to continue. Yeah.
So excited that you are too. And you know, part of the emotion is because you've really brought yourself present here these last 10 months. And, you've grown so much inside of yourself and with your clients. And I think you know it. And that's part of why the emotion is coming up. You're owning it.
Yeah, having it land on the four levels, right?
Yeah.
And I've been in my head, and I've been in conversation in my heart, but like on that deep soul level, it's landed. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Good. Who is this? Um, 1762.
Hi, this is Esther. How are you?
Hi.
I just want to say what an amazing thing you have created. It's so funny to me. I registered for the class not with the intention of being a coach, but simply by what you wrote. And I feel for the first time, I found my people. And there's a lot I could say, but I just want to give you a heartfelt, huge thank you to you and the community. And I so look forward to future classes, meeting, hopefully in person, some of the folks here in the future. And I have to say, it's probably one of the best decisions I've ever made to just jump in, follow my instincts, and sign up for this class. So thank you so much.
You're so welcome. I'm so glad that you did. And it's been amazing to just watch the awarenesses that have happened for you during this year and the ways that you've shifted. And I know you said you didn't sign up to be a coach, but I see in Curriculum Lab what you're preparing for your people. You are a natural coach. It's pretty amazing. So
thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Well, I know that we're over. Oh, I've got one. Let me take one more share. Sophia. Are you there, Sophia?
Oh, okay. I had myself on mute, but I wanted to thank you so much for doing such an amazing job with the course, because over the past 10 months, I actually got a lot more awareness from the course and doing partner coaching with my coaching buddy than I've got with a lot of private coaching. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to just share with you that it was some of the best money I've ever spent, and probably like one of the best decisions in my life to take this program. I'm so grateful for the amazing job you've done with this course, and really, really grateful to you.
Have hand on my heart taking it in, and I know, like, you've been through so much these last 10 months, and I've seen, like, I've watched you move, you know, slowly through resistances and make headway on it. It's been amazing, amazing to watch, and I can't wait to see what you're going to do next with it. Well, we're over time, so I'm going to leave it at this and just, you know, again, thank you all. I'm sending you all a big, big hug. Please post more takeaways in the Facebook group. I sent out a request for just to share your words and your experiences in this program. I would be so grateful if you'd be willing to write a testimonial. It helps so much for people that are interested to hear your words and the experience that you've had. And that's it. Sending you all a big hug. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.